Well, one of the realities that every church or Christian ministry will face at different times in its history is a transition of leadership. As a baton is passed from one generation to the next, and from one leader to the next. Leadership transition is essential to every healthy local church. It's essential so that the mission that God has entrusted to His church can continue to be accomplished until that day when Jesus returns again. Brothers and sisters, we're going through one of those times of transition here at Rosedale. A few months ago, Gary, who served the Lord very faithfully at this church for decades, retired from his official duties. And as we all know, Pastor Ron and Gloria are also in a season of transition as they wrap up 12 years of ministry among us. The Lord has been faithful to this church. He's been very faithful over the course of 75 years by providing godly leaders like Gary, like Pastor Ron and Gloria, and many others. And as we walk through this important season of transition together as a church family, it's very important that we look in two different directions. On the one hand, we must look towards the future. We need to understand that our work in this community is far from being done. You know, I hope to be retired by the age of 75. Probably most of us do. But the reality is there's no retirement age for the Christian church. 75 years is just the beginning. The task is not over. And God's call on every Bible-believing church is to continue to advance the kingdom of God by entrusting the gospel that's been passed down to us for generations to the next generation. Paul talks about it as this precious deposit that we need to entrust. It's the greatest treasure, the treasure of the gospel. Part of my role and calling as your new pastor is to lead you, to lead us together into this next phase of ministry as we seek to fulfill the Great Commission right here in our community. But at the same time, as we look into the future with anticipation at what God will do among us, how He'll continue to use this church, it's important to look backwards to the past, to remember what God has done, to remember God's faithfulness. As a student of history, I love to study the past. I feel sometimes like I live in the past because I love history so much. But apparently God does too, because a large proportion of the Bible, if you've ever noticed it, is history. It's history that tells us of God's faithfulness in the past. And so God is deeply concerned about the past. Now, we shouldn't live in the past. We shouldn't allow sentimentalism or nostalgia to prevent us from moving forward. But we do need to learn from the past and to give glory to God for what He's done in the past. Because what lies behind us is always the foundation of what lies ahead. Well, in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, we get an excellent picture of what it means to look in these two different directions. In Deuteronomy 34, we see the Israelites undergoing their first major transition in leadership as Moses passes the baton to Joshua. And in this remarkable chapter, we see the nation of Israel on the very threshold of the promised land. They're standing on the plains of Moab, renewing their covenant with the Lord before they're about to move in and take their possession. And as they look into the land that God has given them, aware of all of the challenges and the blessings that lie in the future, they also take a moment to reflect on what God has done in the past. And so in verse 10, we have these words, most likely written by Joshua, Moses' successor. Joshua took an opportunity to honor the God of Israel by honoring Moses. And he said the following words: "There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that God sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land. For all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel." This example from Joshua from the Bible shows us that it is right and good and pleasing in the sight of God to honor our leaders, to honor those that God has used to accomplish great things for His greater glory. Well, a text I want to point us to for this morning's message is not Exodus 34, but is two verses from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verses 7 to 8. Let me read them for you. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we take a moment this morning to honor Pastor Ron and Gloria, two outstanding leaders who've served faithfully here at Rosedale, God's Word outlines three commands for us as a body of Christ that we need to obey. First of all, we need to remember. Second of all, we need to consider. And thirdly, we need to imitate. Three commands: remember, consider, and imitate. Well, the first command given to us here in Hebrews 13:7 is to remember our leaders. The fact that the author to the Hebrews introduces these leaders in the church as those who spoke the word of God in the past shows us that they were former leaders within the Jewish church. They were probably elders or pastors. Those words mean the same thing, by the way. And although there's a lot that we could say this morning about remembering our leaders, let me suggest three aspects of leadership that are important for us to remember. Number one, we need to remember that godly leaders are a gift that God has given for the benefit of His church. The Apostle Paul makes this point in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14, when he says that God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Although every member of the local church stands on an equal footing, we all stand on equal ground, and everyone has an essential role to play in the life of the church, the role of the pastor is particularly important to the health of the local church. God has designed the church with designated spiritual leaders so that the church body will be built up in faith and so that all of the saints will be equipped to do the work of ministry. Without pastors or elders in the church appointed by the Holy Spirit, gifted and equipped to do that role, the church would not be able to effectively fulfill her mandate in the world. So that's the first thing. Number two, we need to remember the tremendous privilege that leaders enjoy as they serve the Lord, as they fulfill their calling. And this is something that I know that Pastor Ron knows very well through his ministry here at Rosedale. Serving Christ is a privilege. It's an awesome privilege. In the book of Ephesians again, we get a wonderful glimpse into Paul's attitude towards his ministry, which is a model really for all pastors and elders and leaders in the church. In Ephesians 3:2, Paul calls his ministry God's grace. God's grace to him. That means God's gift. Paul saw his ministry as a gift that God had entrusted to him. And he was in continual wonder at God's calling on his life. He never got past that sense of wonder and amazement that God would use him to further his church, to proclaim the glories of Christ among the Gentiles. Over the past few years, I've gotten to know a few retired pastors and missionaries, and a common theme I've noticed among all of them is gratitude to the Lord. Gratitude for the opportunity to serve the Lord. The great Scottish missionary David Livingstone once said the following about his ministry in Africa. He said, "For my own part, I've never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice that I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice? Which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward? Peace of mind? Healthful activity? A bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word in such a view and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather that it is a privilege. It's an awesome privilege, brothers and sisters, to be called by God to lead a portion of his flock. The pastor has the privilege of praying regularly for members of his congregation, for providing love and support at some of the most pivotal times in people's lives. Pastors are there to celebrate and rejoice with those who rejoice. They're there to mourn with those who mourn. And I know that Pastor Ron and Gloria have been with you in both of those circumstances, mourning with you in the difficult times and rejoicing with you in the blessings of God. You know, even the unpleasant task of church discipline is a privilege when we see God working through it to restore somebody into a right relationship with God. But perhaps the greatest privilege of pastoral ministry is the opportunity to minister the Word of God, to preach the Word of God in all of its richness, in all of its fullness, to help people understand what it says and how it applies to our lives. Ask any pastor, they will tell you there's no higher privilege than to proclaim the wonderful doctrines of God's grace in the inspired scriptures. But aside from the tremendous privilege that comes from serving God, we must also remember the tremendous responsibility that leaders bear before the Lord. Every shepherd of a flock is accountable to the chief shepherd, to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter teaches in the very last chapter of his first epistle. And the same point about responsibility is made later in the same chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, in verse 17. Look at what that verse says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. And here's the key part. They're keeping watch as those who will have to give an account. Those who will give an account of their ministry. And I can't speak for every spiritual leader, but those are sobering words for me as a pastor who realizes that I will one day stand before the Lord and give an account for my ministry. Leaders in the local church are held to a very high standard by the Lord. James warns in his little epistle, not many of you should be teachers. Moses, as great a leader as he was, as good as he stewarded the house of God, was not able to enter the promised land because of one act of disobedience, of rebellion. Leadership carries tremendous responsibility. Even the Apostle Paul understood this. In Acts chapter 20, when he met with the Ephesian leaders for the very last time before going to Jerusalem, where he'd be arrested and imprisoned and brought to Rome, said to them, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. That's the call of the pastor, to declare the whole counsel of God so that we can grow and mature in Christ. As Paul says, that we can present everyone mature in Christ. And in addition to the responsibility that the pastor carries before God, is the fact that a good shepherd carries on his shoulders the burden of the church family entrusted to his care. You really get that sense from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:28, Paul speaks of his great anxiety. He speaks of the burden that he had for all of the churches of God that he had established and that he loved very deeply. Godly leaders like Pastor Ron, who have faithfully ministered the word to us, need to be remembered because of the privilege and the responsibility that they bear. And it's appropriate for us to give thanks to the Lord this morning because he's not left us without direction in our spiritual pilgrimage. He's given us godly leaders who point us to the Word of God so that we will one day arrive at the heavenly city. In God's sovereign grace and kindness, he's appointed leaders like Pastor Ron to help us along the way. Pastor Ron and Gloria are two faithful leaders that the Lord has given to this congregation as a gift of his grace. They're a gift to us. And we need to remember in that the infinite love of God to us as well. Their faithfulness is a reflection of God's even greater faithfulness to us. Well, the second command that we read in Hebrews 13:7 is to consider the outcome of the leader's lifestyle and ministry. And in getting to know Pastor Ron over the last year and having him as a mentor for my internship this past year, I've had a unique opportunity to consider the outcome of his life and ministry here at Rosedale. I want to mention a few things that I believe are worthy of our consideration. First of all, Pastor Ron is a leader who trusts in the character of God. He trusts in the character of God. And that can only come from a lifestyle of walking by faith. If you've come to know Ron at all, you'll know that he's a man of great faith. Gloria as well. He's a wonderful example of what the author to the Hebrews says, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And so that needs to be modeled by the leadership of the church. Secondly, I've seen Ron to be a leader who relies on God's provision. And that comes from a lifestyle of prayer. Consistency in prayer. One thing that stood out to me about Pastor Ron from the very first week that I arrived here at the church is his commitment to prayer. I don't know if you realize this. Ron spends time every day praying for this church, praying for us individually as members of the flock. If you've ever come into the church building during the week and seen Ron wandering around in the nursery, he's not avoiding sermon prep. He's in there praying for us. He's praying and lifting us up before the Lord in prayer. You know, in our fast-paced society, where time alone with the Lord is often crowded out by the things that we think are most important, having a leader who prioritizes prayer is worthy of our consideration and our imitation. And Pastor Ron has been that kind of a leader here at Rosedale. The third thing that I've noticed as an outcome of Ron's lifestyle is his intimate knowledge of God. Ron knows who God is. But not only knowledge that remains in the head or that comes from books, he really knows God. He knows God. It's evident in his entire way of life. Ron has a tremendous heart for God, and it shows through in every aspect of his ministry. And if we want to know our God like Pastor Ron has come to know him, there are no shortcuts for that. We must consider his way of life, prayer, time in the Word of God, and we must imitate it. Develop a lifestyle of prayer and a deep love for the Scripture. The final outcome is Ron's humility. A servant leader who reflects the humility and the servant heart of Jesus is rare to find today in our society. But it's something that I see very clearly in both Ron and Gloria in your way of life. And I know that many of the spiritual qualities that I've just mentioned about Ron are also equally true of Gloria. But you know, aside from personal outcomes of a godly life, Pastor Ron and Gloria's ministry here at the church have had many benefits in our church family, positive outcomes in the ministry of our church. And the primary thing that stands out to me is the emphasis that has been placed on the Word of God, on biblical teaching and preaching. Rosedale is a church that loves the Word of God. We're grounded and rooted in the Word of God because Pastor Ron and the other leaders and elders of this church have made that a priority. They've made that the main thing. The Word of God is our final authority. And you see this in Gloria's ministry as well. If you've ever looked at that curriculum that we use for junior church, that's an excellent curriculum that Gloria chose, a curriculum that is grounded and rooted in the Word of God. The centrality of the Word of God is the thing that attracted me to Rosedale. And by God's grace, I hope to continue in that legacy of teaching and preaching the Word of God and keeping that at the very center of our DNA, who we are as a community. Another important outcome of their ministry among us is unity within the body of Christ. We see that especially with other churches here in our city. Pastor Ron supports gospel ministry wherever he sees it, whether that's within our own fellowship of Baptist churches or whether it's outside of our fellowship and our denomination. That's a trait that's to be commended, especially for us Baptists who tend to be very fiercely independent at times. Ron loves other Christians. He's a big C Christian and a little B Baptist, and that is to be commended. One final outcome of Ron's ministry that needs to be considered is his desire to train up a new generation of leaders. The internship program that was launched this past year was part of Ron's vision for the church. Ron has led with a vision for Rosedale to become a blessing to the larger body of Christ, that our influence would go beyond even our community in these four walls. And as the first graduate of the internship program, I want to thank you, Pastor Ron, for investing in my life, for investing in my ministry, for teaching me from your years of experience and for modeling for me what it means to lead the flock of God. Those are things that you cannot learn in any seminary classroom. And so thank you very much for that, Pastor Ron. The third and the final command given in our text this morning is to imitate their faith. The ultimate goal of Christ-centered leadership in the local church is to glorify God by raising up multiplying disciples of Jesus Christ. That is what it's all about. The process of raising up disciples begins by proclaiming the Word of God, by calling men and women to repent and believe the gospel. It continues through discipleship, by modeling a Christian life in every aspect of our lives. And it culminates in challenging others to do the same by imitating our example. That was the Apostle Paul's strategy. He says it in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now the goal of imitation is not that we would become little clones of Pastor Ron and Gloria. That would be a bit scary, I think. The goal of imitation is that we would see the ways that Jesus is reflected in their lives and to integrate those things into our own lives so that we begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ. Although it's good to take an occasion like this to honor our great God by honoring the godly leadership that He's established, I want to let you in on a little secret this morning. The best way that you can honor Ron and Gloria is not by sending them a card, although that's a nice thing to do, or by giving them a word of appreciation. The best way that you can honor them is by imitating their faith. By imitating their faith. John says in his little epistle, "There is no greater joy than to see your spiritual children walking in the truth." Talk to any pastor and they will tell you that. No greater joy than that. So three commands. Remember, consider, and imitate. Pastor Ron and Gloria, thank you so much for serving so faithfully among us for the past 12 years. May God help us to use your example to become more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.